Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You are listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Good evening, welcome to episode 107 of the LA Rams UK podcast, Who's Tanking Now? I'm John, and joined with me is Andy. Andy, how are you doing, mate? And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well, mate. Much better now I'm over the COVID.
Yeah, you've not had a great Christmas period there, mate. You're just saying online now.
Stuck in isolation for Christmas, just what you want.
Well, but surely it must have been, you know, good in some respect because you'd have been isolated with your Los Angeles Rams, you know, playing three games since we last recorded.
Yeah, that was the only good thing, mate, is isolated on my own. I could watch the games in peace with no issues from any other family.
Yeah. So, obviously, due to the Christmas New Year period, it's obviously been very busy and we've not been able to get any episodes out, so quite a bit to cover tonight. So we've got the Commanders game, the Saints game, and the Giants game. And, you know, I guess we'll have to talk about them bastards as well. We've got coming up this Sunday. Apologies for a lot. I'm not going to actually apologise for my language tonight, folks, because it's them. Anyways, so Andy, since we last recorded, we've played three games. We've came out with three wins. And we'll talk about what that means in a minute. But yeah, just thoughts over the last few weeks. So 28-20 victory over the Commanders, 30-22 victory over the Saints. And I've done it again. You know, it's not 26-26, it's 26-25 against the Giants. How do you feel that the last 3 weeks have went for us, Andy?
Obviously happy to have got the wins, but there's been some concern and things on with the team. We seem to, especially second half, seem to fold and let teams back into games. You know, on all three of those games, we were pretty much steamrolling them. And then we sort of felt like we just took our foot off the gas and it was, you know, we allowed teams back into it, which, you know, is worrying, especially with the games we potentially got coming up. We cannot be doing that. You know, we need to keep our foot on the gas and, you know, make sure teams get completely put out of reach and they can't have a chance to come back. But, yeah, you know, it's nice to get the wins, obviously, but there are, you know, especially on defence, there's some concern and worries on the defence.
Yeah, just like you're saying there about taking the foot off the gas, like the Commanders in the Saints game, specifically the highlighting those ones, you know, the Rams being, you know, you're shutting the Commanders out in the first half and being, you know, 20, you know, like it says 28-20, it finished up conceding 13 points in the last quarter and pretty much pushing it to a point where, like, the Commanders could come back and beat us here. And bearing in mind, the Commanders, you know, like, performed really well against the Eagles, the likes of the Eagles in two games. They're a team that, despite their records, they're not necessarily a bad team, just that they've not been good enough to put other teams away.
Nah.
The game, it was squeaky bum time, basically, that game, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, like I said, even before the game start, you know, before in our preview of the game, it was dependent on what Sam Howell came out, if we got the good Sam Howell or the crappy Sam Howell. Unfortunately, we kind of got the crappy Sam Howell, and then Jacoby Brissett came in and, you know, I'm not being funny, tore us apart.
Well, that's it, two touchdown passes off of eight completions.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, he certainly did tear us apart. But, you know, someone else who tore the Commanders apart in that game was Kyren Williams with 152 yards on the ground. Again, another absolute stellar performance from Williams there. We've seen Cooper Kupp, he'll go over 100 yards and a touchdown there. But one player that's kind of came out in recent weeks is DeMarcus Robinson, Andy. He's a guy, he's not really been talked about an awful lot over the course of the season, but in the last kind of like 3-4 weeks, he seems to have kind of come into his own a bit, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. You know, he seems to, McVay's obviously played him a lot more, given him a lot more chances, and, you know, he has flashed, you know, good consistency at times. The only worrying thing that worries me with the guy is it seems to be all of Stafford's interceptions that he's had. I think all of them were targeting Robinson and, you know, they were kind of a bit off. But, you know, he has done a good chunk over the last few weeks. And with the part where we are in the season now, that is, you know, another player that can potentially step up and, you know, win, help win us a game. You know, so if he's confident, then, you know, it's another weapon to add that we can, you know, use against teams, because teams aren't going to have the tape to be able to say, well, when he does this, he's going to break left or right or do stop and, you know, come back for the ball. There's not much tape on the guy. Rams, and it seems to be McVay has actually sort of figured out what he's doing with him at long last. Obviously, you know, Tutu being injured, open that space for him to be able to.
Yep. Flipping over to the Saints game, like I kind of mentioned, you know, with the Commanders game, you mentioned it as well, like kind of taking the foot off the gas. I mean, we were like putting the Saints away, like going into the fourth quarter, we're 27-7 up, you know. I guess in one respect, you can take the foot off the gas, but not when you concede 15 points in the last quarter. Again, you know, that bringing it to that point, and you know, it's close enough that, you know, they could snatch a victory off us. And I think the reason why I'm kind of anxious about talking like stuff like despite the victories is because of the kicking game. Because let's be honest, he's gone now, Havlicek's away. But granted, we've brought Mayer back, who wasn't the most reliable, but we've not had a reliable kicker to be able to go out there and know that, well, if we have to get, you know, a field goal to put the game away or win the game, we've not got someone who can do that for us. So there's a lot more pressure on basically the likes of Stafford to either go for two or get them in the offense. Do you think that's been a kind of a big factor into how the Commanders and the Saints games kind of ended up with that kind of late resurgence?
Yeah, I think it was, if I remember correctly. We missed a field goal, and then that sort of buoyed the Saints to sort of come back and, you know, give us a fight. You know, but again, it was, you know, the defense, especially the defensive backs, were just letting the guys run all over them. You know, Chris Olave, 123 yards. Raheed Shaheed, 70 yards. A.T. Perry had one catch for 35 yards. You know, again, they were just torturing us. We were torturing our secondary again. And this is the worrying thing is, you know, you've got to go one-on-one against somebody. You can't double team all of the wide receivers. And it was literally the Saints were doing it for that final quarter. It was whoever's a single covered guy, one-on-one, we're just going to target the guy and put it, you know, drop some bombs on him. And, you know, that was, Derek Carr is not renowned for, you know, he's check down Carr for a reason. But he was, you know, launching balls 40 yards down the field against us because he knew our DBs weren't hanging. You know, so if someone like, you know, Derek Carr, Jacoby Brissett can do that to us, what is a more competent quarterback, you know, that we're potentially likely to face coming up? It's got to tear us to pieces. And it's out there on tape now for the past few weeks.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just me saying about, like, you know, like a good quarterback. I mean, I suppose if you kind of dial it back to the Ravens game, you know, you can see what the likes of like someone like Lamar Jackson can do against the secondary. So, I mean, like you said, not even just last few weeks, it's there in tape in general across the whole of the season. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. We've said it time and time again, the secondary is essentially there for the taking. You know, you can throw the deep ball against us. Yeah.
Unless the pass rush is good and gets home within like 2 seconds flat.
Yeah.
You know, we're leaving them wide open and exposed. And yet we've made some plays, but we've also, if you marry it up, there's a lot more negative than positive from the secondary.
Yeah, unfortunately, isn't that? And it's a shame to say that when, you know, guys like Witherspoon have been, you know, a great addition to our roster over the, you know, season. There has been positives, but like you said, unfortunately, with our secondary, that the negatives outweigh that for us. Just going back to you saying about, like, you know, kind of some of the Saints players kind of, you know, running riot against us, you know, let's flip the coin here. Like, Kyren Williams again running riot, 104 yards, but your man, and, you know, if he doesn't get it now, it's a travesty. Your offensive rookie of the year, Puka Nacua, 164 yards off in 9 catches.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. I mean, what is it they're saying? He's only and this is before I even like talk about the Giants game, he's only something like 28 or 29 yards away from the record now, mm-hmm. in four catches.
Yeah, four catches and 28 yards or something like that from the rookie record.
Phenomenal, you know, and like, when the Kapuka hype, you know, began at the start of the season, we thought when Cup came back, it was said, right, well, maybe it's maybe going to kind of die down now because, you know, Cup's back, kind of game will play. No, like, he's just consistently that good, you know, and I mean, the sevens this week, you know, we'll talk about later, where he's been selected to the Pro Bowl, like, but there doesn't seem to be much stopping Nacua, is there, Andy? Because you see some of the teams he's putting his yards up against, it's like, he's capable of doing it against anyone, it seems. Yeah,
he is. You know, the guy is a stud. There's no other way of putting it. You know,
he's head and shoulders above all first-round wide receivers.
Yeah.
Put it that way. Yeah. And Zay Flowers has been, you know, pegged as like the best rookie receiver to, you know, come out last year, last year. But he's not. No. Just because he came the first round doesn't mean he's, you know, the best receiver there. Nacua's head and shoulders above the rest.
And this, unfortunately, I think, is where the likes of Kobe Turner, Puka Nacua, even Byron Young, because they were drafted later, they're not going to really be on people's radars. I think Puka will be because of the sensational season he's had.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the guy is a number one wide receiver. And, you know, if this is what he's like in his rookie year, when, you know, he is, like I've previously said, you know, I watched an analyst and he said the guy is still on his route run and his brakes a little bit unpolished and he doesn't run it as crisply as you'd expect.
Uh-huh.
So with another year of next year, could you imagine the devastation that guy could cause if he just cleans a few little bits up? It could be mental.
And, the other thing is he's so humble as well because, you know, he keeps talking about, like, he's just so grateful. And he says every time he walks into the locker room and he sees staff and he sees Cup there, he's just like, Jesus, man, I get to play with these guys every day. I get to catch passes from him. I get to learn from someone as good as Cup. Like, the guy is just... And like you said, like, if this is his rookie year, like, what's he going to be like in years to come? And it's one of those ones, like, at some point down the line, you know, Cup will move on. Nacua's he is the next in line.
Providing,
he's primed and ready. It's just the same as
stay healthy. That's my only worry with the guy.
Yeah,
because he did have the injury thing, you know, coming out of college.
Yep, which is why he dropped.
Yeah, one of the reasons in his 40 time was pants, to be honest. But you know, every week now he is on the injury report, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he's normally on the injury report for various little niggles. And it's just a worry that, you know, the Giants game, he was thrown up in a bin on the sideline. You know, it's kind of a little bit worrying of, you know, and especially the way he runs, you know, he's an angry runner. He just runs through people and, you know, which can be good for, you know, massive, you know, he can turn a 6-yard catch into a, you know, 10, 12-yard catch because he'll just run, even, you know, and drag people along behind him. But at some point, it worries me that the guy could get injured because of how he plays. But so far, you know, touch wood, he's been healthy and hopefully, you know, he can stay that way.
Fingers crossed. And then that brings us on to the most recent game where we edged out the Giants in New York. Thankfully, the only ball that was dropped there was the one in Times Square, eh, Andy?
Yeah, but yes, this was the most worrying game of all is, you know, we let the Giants hang with us the whole game. And if it wasn't for a missed field goal, you know, we'd have lost this game and potentially been out of the playoff race at this point. You know, it's just luck on our side but, you know, again, the kicking issues, mate. I think, was it 8-9 points, I think, got left behind from missed kicks? You know, that is ridiculous. you know, and a few, you know, most of them weren't like, oh, just missed the post, or he was shanking them well and truly, you know, off. It was ridiculous what the guy was doing. You know, I think one of them nearly went out the left-hand side of the ground. It was like nearly in the corner of the feet. It went that shanked. And yeah, luckily, this was the point, I think, where the team finally realised.
Enough's enough.
We're playoff bound. We cannot have the guy missing, you know, extra points.
That's
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he had a field goal attempt, but according to ESPN, he never had a field goal attempt all game. But that was, I think, where we kept going for it on fourth down, because we realised the guy wasn't going to make him, and you can't keep doing that.
No, you can't plan for that. That you've got to go for it all the time in fourth down, or just as we were saying before we came on the air tonight, folks. It's the extra points. It's one thing to miss a field goal, right? Because you're obviously more likely to be further out, so there's that kind of, like, the accuracy needs to be on point to complete it. But to be missing extra points, you know, I know it's not as they're not as close as they used to be. You know, where basically, what's the point even kicking an extra point when it's like from the two or whatever it was? You know, it's a bit further back now, but still, it's a straight shot up the middle. You know, I don't want to say it's not difficult, right? Because kicking isn't exactly easy in general, but you know what I'm trying to say? It's not rocket science. Like,
no, you should be automatic.
Yeah.
A kicker now in the NFL should be automatic. Anything 50 and below should be an automatic, basically a gimme. You can get away with it, you know, if it's bad weather or, you know.
Yeah.
But I will say the whole setup has been weird for weeks. Obviously, we lost Alex Ward to injury. He was our long snapper.
Yeah.
And we've bringing people in to try and play. So it has been, you know, that side of it has been off. And I think on one of them, Evans literally, I think, practically had to leap about 10 foot in the air to catch the ball to try and get it down. You know, how he managed to do it, I don't know. But, you know, the whole motion has been off for, the last few weeks. But it's still not, you know, field goals should not, as you say, should be automatic. You should not be missing them, you know. Or maybe you can get away with maybe missing one or two in a season. But when you've, you know, for consistently now over the last number of weeks, and it was getting worse. It wasn't as if his kicking, his kicking progressively throughout the last 3-4 weeks has been getting worse and worse. And I think it was a case of, you see the guy on the sideline. I think they highlighted him in the Giants game even before the game. You know, and the commentators were saying the guy was missing every field goal he attempted in practice. He said he never made one in practice. And you could, you know, and those guys are out there for like 15, 20 minutes, half an hour before the start of the game, practicing. So how many has he attempted and how many has he missed? And you could see on his sideline, his face was just dejected and severe lack of confidence. He had no confidence at all. And, you know, kick is one of them things. If you, as much as people say cornerbacks, wide receivers have got to have confidence, kickers have got to have the confidence as well, because if they're not confident, it's already in their mind, I've missed this before they've even struck it.
Yeah, because like you're saying, like, the confidence is critical to be a good kicker, because you need to be like totally, like, you know, like, just like cold as ice, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that in the zone, like that game focus, you know, that, like, I'm making this, you know, and like,
yeah,
you can't have that down the back in your head, because all Matt it takes Gay. Is like, yeah, but like, he, like you missed, said,
but he'd be confident. He'd be like, "All right, I missed, but I'll make the next one. I'll make the next
exactly." And it's like, "I'll make the next one for 10 yards back."
Yeah,
but you know, it's like,
was just no.
No, it's like, no, I'm not gonna. And like you said, all it takes is the slightest, like, being off the slightest, and that kick is, you know, it's out of the corner.
Yeah.
You know, he's just.
You could see with McVay, you know, his decisions, the, you know, commentary are like, okay, well, it's a 45-yard field goal. You know, it's fourth and six. And McVay's like, no, we're going for it. On fourth and six, we're going to go for it. But the problem is, if you then go for it, like what happened in the Giants game, if you don't get it, you're handing the ball to the Giants there. You know, and on some of them, they were like, other, you know, their own 45-yard.
Yeah, you give them good field position.
You're giving them short field advantage, because you've decided to go for it, because you've got no choice.
And that's where it has to be a complete, well, I guess as it has been now this week, has to be a complete no-brainer that if you're having to play your offense like that and you can't actually turn around, send the kicker on at all in those kind of scenarios, it's different to go for it when you're like 4-1, 4-2. Maybe a four, maybe a push 3 yards, but like you said, 4th and 6. You know, that's where like just, maybe they've been better just getting the Evans just to punt it and just chuck it straight up into the air. You've seen the leg the guy's gotten on him. So I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter what the field position would have been, even if he were in there.
Yeah, quite a few times this season, he's been knocking them out of bounds inside the 5, you know. So he's quite capable of, you know, pinning them back on the road.
Yeah, instead of like going for it.
Play the field game.
But like you said, we're a playoff team. Like, you can't go into the playoffs without being able to turn to a kicker.
Yeah, at least with May, you kind of expect, and he's going to make the majority of his extra points, and anything 45 yards and below, he's going to pretty much make it. That was one thing you will say about the guy. It was 50 and beyond that he was starting to struggle because obviously I just don't think he's got the leg anymore.
Yeah,
because of his age.
I think the other thing with May is, and I think the hindsight is good with this because pre-buy, the offense wasn't really getting going as well as it has post-buy. So, like you're saying, Mayer was more likely to be having to kick from distance every time, whereas now our offense is properly going that some of the kicks he'd be getting asked to make, he'll make comfortably.
Mm.
So maybe it's unfortunate we pulled the trigger on him when we did, because we could have been using him, like, and he would have been more reliable than Havrisik. But he's back in the team. We'll see how it goes, I guess.
This decision should have been made, to be honest, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, no, we've been talking about it for weeks now, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and this is something, you know, you do have to, you know. All right, Mason Crosby, maybe he won the competition against Mason Crosby, but that should have been all right. Crosby's out, but we're bringing somebody else on the practice squad for next week, and we're going to keep pushing the guy. Maybe, you know, he played well that week because he was getting pushed because there was somebody staring over his shoulder to take his job.
Yeah.
If that was the case, we should have been like, all right, Blankenship, goggles, you're in this week. You're going to be on the practice squad to keep, you know, keep that pressure on the guy. Mayer, come back, you're on the practice squad to keep the pressure on.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe should have been what was done by the team instead of, you know, letting ride it out and hoping the guy could get it together. And like we said, he got worse and worse as the weeks went on.
Yep. Well, he's gone now.
Yeah.
We're back to Mayer. So we'll kind of see how it goes with that. So following those 3 games, the Rams went 9-7. And as was reported after the game, the team sat on the team plane on the tarmac at, I think it was LaGuardia Airport,
Newark.
Okay. Newark, yeah. I knew it wasn't JFK, I couldn't mind if it was one or two. Sat on the tarmac because in the late window, the Steelers took on the Seahawks, and all the eyes were on this game because, depending on the result, the Rams could have clinched a playoff berth, and luckily for us, the Steelers done as a solid and actually saw the Rams' Twitter account say, do you know what, we're good with that spot of the ball now, because the Seahawks fell to the Steelers and that clinched the playoff spot for us. So we're currently sitting here in week 18, 9-7, and the Rams are going to the playoffs, folks. Andy, thoughts?
Happy, but did not. I'm going to be honest, never expected this in the beginning of the season at all. I think I had us down for three or four wins, I think, of the predictions when we started the year.
Yeah, you know, I looked at the predictions form we put out at the start of the year week with 15 people that responded to it. Only one person said we'd have a winning record, and 3 people said we'd make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, losing record, like, yo, and said that the majority of those people said we'd be a top 5.
Yeah,
I said it as well. Yeah. I think that this is 4 or 5 wins on a season. So I'll be honest and say I'm more than happy to have been proven wrong. I'll be more than happy eating my hat with this. It's been some ride this season because
we're what? Consider a bye week, we were what, 3-6? And
3-6.
Yeah, the season was locked over and done. We were finished.
6-1 post bye is just correct me if I'm wrong here, Andy, but I think it technically we may be the informed team in the league.
Yeah, like, it's us and then maybe the Ravens, and that's about it, to be honest. You know, and all the teams have been dropping points, and unfortunately, you know, I suppose we'll have to say the Whiners as well as kind of inform ish. Unfortunately.
But, you know, 6-1 post bye.
Yeah.
I remember us talking at the bye week, and we were like, we'll maybe get 3 wins out of that. Yeah. Or like, it could really go pear shaped this. And I think at one point we were concerned that, and this was off the back of his losing in Green Bay, that were like, you know, we could fall to every team we've got going here.
Yeah, it was very much a case of we could win a load of these, or we're going to lose them all. You know, it did very much feel like it was that bad. Even teams, you know, we were like, oh, I'm not sure we can beat anybody at the moment the way we're playing. Come the bye, but
yeah,
the bye I think came at the perfect time because it allowed this team to reset, sort itself out, you know, maybe allow a few players who were carrying a little bit of knocks like Stafford and etc. give him another week on his thumb, you know, to get back. And we've not looked back since. And you know, I think a lot of NFC teams are going to be worried about us offensively, maybe not defensively, but you know, if our offense can get going and our defense can just be competent, I'll say there isn't a team now in the NFC that I'd be worried about playing, you know, obviously outside the Whiners, but I'm hoping we don't see them till maybe the championship game.
Yeah.
You know, if things go our way, but honestly, I don't see, you know, Detroit are very much like us. They've got pieces on the defense. Offensively, they can move, but their secondary is suspect just like ours, you know.
Yeah,
all the teams. Philadelphia, just I don't know what's going on with them. They've just fell apart.
Holding like a pack of cards, really.
Yeah,
I think a team that looked like a surefire number one like seed. They're now 6-5 seed.
I think age, especially on their D backs is beginning to show up. You know, both of them are in the mid, you know, early 30s now. Bradbury and Slay, and the linebackers are, you know, not being funny. Crap. So you know, there's just chances for our team to hit that. You know, we're not worried about them, and off their offense is struggling. You know, they don't seem to be able to get anything together at the moment either. So you know, they don't worry me either.
Just kind of looking at the playoff picture. You know, we've not really properly talked about it, but I think that's because even at the last episode that we did, it was still a bit kind of, well, you know, we're pushing for the playoffs here, but like, a lot needs to happen for us to make it. And you know, a few weeks on it has. So like, looking at the actual playoff picture now, so in the NFC, 5 of the 7 spots have been taken up. That lot are number one seed, they've got that locked in. The Cowboys are locked in. In number 2, 11 and 5. Lions locked in with the NFC North title wrapped up. 11-5, the Eagles are 11-5 as well, sitting in the 5th seed, and we are currently sitting as the 6th seed. The 4th seed is up for grabs between, you know, the Bucks and the Packers are sitting there in the hunt and now, both on 8-8. In the bubble are the Seahawks, Saints, Vikings and Falcons. So, I mean, like, the Falcons and the Saints have still got a chance at taking the NFC South, and they would take
I don't see Minnesota getting in with an 8-9 record if they win. I just don't see it myself.
They've got an 11% chance of making it if they win.
Yeah.
Falcons 35% chance, Saints 51%, Seahawks 44%, Packers and Buccaneers are basically, they're in if they win, obviously. Buccaneers have got the Panthers, you've got to imagine that they'll beat Panthers and the Packers have got the Bears, and got to imagine they would beat them. Seahawks have got Cardinals.
I don't know, the Bears have been playing quite well recently.
Yeah.
Last few weeks. That might be a tougher game than people think. They seem to be figuring a few things out.
Yeah. It's interesting over on the NFC side, the AFC side, that like people are talking about the Steelers, you know, they're kind of in the hunt still. For because there's still, what is it, there's three places up for grabs. So Ravens are number one, currently Dolphins are two, Chiefs three, and the Browns are five, which is like, that's, you know, the Browns being there is being talked about quite a bit, because basically Joe Flacco has thrown more touchdowns in the few weeks he's played for the Browns than the Jets have all season. Yeah. And he's now being talked about between him and Hamlin for comeback player of the year, because basically came off the couch and got them into the playoffs. And I mean, I may have only played like several games or whatever, but I can kind of see the logic and why that conversation would come up. But
I think when you look at it, I think, has DeMar Hamlin actually even played a game this year? I don't think he has. I think he's only ever been.
He's not dead. Basically, he's not dead. That's why they're considering it.
Comeback player of the year is you're supposed to actually play the game.
Exactly. Well, that's it. I mean, like, maybe some people Bills a couple weeks ago. Yeah, maybe. I mean, Stafford got kind of thrown in the hat for that week before last they were talking about him, because they were like, well, he had all these concussions, had these injuries last year. He basically wasn't Stafford, the Stafford that everyone knows. Whereas this year, he's shown that he's fully capable of still being 2021 Matthew Stafford.
I think the Giants game has took him out of that race because of how badly he played. I think that's kind of took him out of that radar now.
Listen, it's fine. I don't really mind with that anyway. Like I said, I can see the logic and why, if they want to give it to Flacco, I can see the logic and why. The guy was retired, came off the couch, and has basically helped the Browns get to the playoffs.
Yep.
You know, so I can see that. But yeah, so the Browns are sitting fifth in the AFC, in the hunts, the Jags, the Bills and the Colts. Jags have got the Titans, Bills have got the Dolphins, and Colts have got the Texans, who are also in the hunt. Yeah, so Texans. Basically, whoever wins out the Texans and Colts is in.
Yeah.
Steelers, they've only got a 66% chance if they win again, so they're off the line and stuff elsewhere. But as it stands, with us being six, we travel to Detroit as it stands in the playoffs, which a lot of people are saying is probably the playoff game. No, I don't mean Rams fans, I mean people in general here, folks. That is the game that they would want to see the Rams play, because you've got that whole Stafford going back to Detroit, you know, narrative.
Got the Stafford going to Detroit, Goff playing off against his former team.
Yeah.
You know, it would be quite an interesting game to see.
I'm just going to get Jake Ellenbogen, I'm sure. He put up a great... he had all the scenarios, actually. I think it was yesterday, of what needs to happen for the Rams to play, you know, whoever it was. I'm trying to see if I can get his account up here. I'm on my son's laptop, so this might not actually work. by the way that we'll come to it when we're going to talk about the game this week, but let's be honest here, folks, we might not be number six come the end of Sunday.
I'd be very surprised if we stay number six.
Because which would mean, as it stands, going to Dallas again.
Dallas, don't worry me, because you know Dak in
it's playoffs. The playoffs, right enough.
Yeah, Dak and playoffs don't go well together.
Yeah, I suppose the Cowboys are just, they're a regular season team. They're not a playoff team.
No, they don't tend to. But, I mean, I can't remember who's Dallas got this week.
They have Commanders. Washington.
So, you know, there's a chance they can, sneak a win there, and Detroit, you know, we could still face Detroit if Detroit can win this week against the Vikings. Funny enough, they're playing the Vikings, which I don't see them losing unless they decide to bench all their starters.
No.
You know, so that you know, could potentially, you know, it could be you end up there two, where seven. You know, it could still happen.
Could happen. There is a possibility we could be going to Philadelphia as well.
Again, that doesn't, with how bad Philly are at the moment, it doesn't worry me. It's not, they don't worry me.
It's that tush push that worries me.
Yeah, but the thing is, you just don't let them get into that position. End of. Just don't let them get to that position.
Easier said than done with our season.
Easier said than done, but you know, at the end of the day, as teams have been proven, just don't let them get into third and one.
Yeah. Well, the Eagles have got the Giants this week.
With how bad Philly are playing, that could be a bit of a spicy game as well. You know, division rival, the Giants do tend to, much like the Commanders, they'll not win all season and then they'll play well against the Eagles and the Cowboys because division rivalry games.
It's nuts because, like, you know, the Cowboys and Eagles being 2-5, they could literally flip each other here, you know, with this last game. It'd probably be the Bucks. They would then play, you know, the Cowboys as it's standing at the moment. Because let's be honest, the Bucks are playing the Panthers, so that's pretty much a surefire win, I'd say there. So I mean, it's looking at, like you're saying, like the Packers beat the Bears, they'll be in at number 7, so they'd be going to Dallas, I guess. Unless the Cowboys lose, that is.
Yeah, like I say, it's very much the NFC is still up on the air of who's playing who, and you know. But like I say, outside, unfortunately, the Winers, no team worries me in the NFC. I feel like we could be on our day if everything goes our way and we're playing, you know, our offense plays like it has outside of the command, you know, outside the Giants game. You know, I feel that we could.
Well, I suppose, like, let's dial it back to the Ravens game. The Ravens are obviously number one seed in the AFC right now. You know, they are a good example for us to kind of, and you know, post by. Because let's look at it this way, folks. We played the 49ers. I named them. Played them. We played the Cowboys. We played the Eagles. Pre-bye. Not post by. So maybe, like you're saying, Andy, our perception of how we would perform against those teams is based off of when the offense wasn't really going anywhere and when the team wasn't, you know, where it is now. Whereas now, being 6-1 post by, and it doesn't, you can only beat who's in front of you, right? So, like, no one give it the, like, oh, but you played this, that team. Like, you said the Eagles are on the downward. They're now the Cowboys, you like you said, when it hits the postseason, you know, they're not a postseason team. And then, like you said, the only team to worry about would be that lot. And you know,
even that lot in week two, it was a touchdown game. Things went our way. We were going to win it.
Exactly. It wasn't that far off. No. You know, I know we got annihilated in Dallas, and like the Eagles basically pushed their way to victory against us, but that was then. This isn't now. You know, Cup wasn't playing in those games, so he didn't have the Cup and the crew of threat that we've got now. You know, Matthew Stafford was still showing signs of, is he injured or not? Don't know. You know,
Dotson didn't play the Winers game and he didn't play the Eagles game. It was after the Eagles that he came in against the Cardinals.
That's it.
So, you know, that's another player on, you know, who could potentially stop their pass rush, you know, from, you know, being effective. But we'll get on to Dotson in a minute once we get to another section of the podcast.
Yeah.
But, you know, he wasn't playing at the time. So, you know, it's another piece that you can add in that would, you know, shore up.
Yeah. Well, that's
the offense and give Stafford a bit more time to throw as well.
So just to kind of summarize that, I think we need to just try and keep ourselves focused on the post-buy version of the Rams that we've got this year, because it's two completely different teams we are talking about here.
We've basically gone the opposite way from when we won the Super Bowl, where we were started off hot, then we had that month of no wins, you know, no win November, you know, and then we hit form in the right time. We've gone the opposite this time. We started off slow, and then hit the bye, and then come out the bye, and we've basically been firing reasonably on all cylinders. The Giants game was a bit of a misnomer because we seemed to, you know, fall apart. But it was, you know, we were steaming into Leeds and then sort of taking off. The closeness of the game was down to our own doing, not because of teams, you know, dominating us. It was,
yeah,
we took our foot off and we sort of like, yeah, we've won this game. Let's relax. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, which you would expect the Rams in the postseason not to fall into that trap. It would be a case of we've got to keep going no matter what.
Yep, until the clock hits zero. Yeah. Well, it's only 1 week to go, so I guess it'll be finalised next week and we'll talk about that more. But it's still absolute surreal for me, and I'm sure that's for yourself, Andy, to be sitting here and actually, we're not talking about the playoffs as a whole. We're talking about the Rams in the playoffs, and we're talking about potential opponents here. And that's not trying to get ahead of ourselves. That's just being real and look, because the NFC's, apart from them, is still that open that, you know, we could be playing almost anybody.
Yeah, we could be playing either at least, depending on what happens.
Yeah, so that's why we're talking about everyone here. You know, there's three teams we could be playing, you know, week after next. So, but yeah, it's just totally surreal. So we'll obviously come back to the playoff chat again next week. Just kind of moving on. Not really wanting to talk about what's happening elsewhere, because I guess playoffs is what we're talking about happening elsewhere. In the league, but let's talk about things happening elsewhere within the team. And the first one is the Pro Bowl announcement came out in the last day. Matthew Stafford, Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua, and Aaron Donald have been selected as starters for the NFC. Andy, first of all, it's four guys you would expected to get picked, or did you think that? We'll take Puka, for example. Did you think he was me and Kyren, they were outside bets to get in?
I think Puka was a definite in getting in. There's no way he could not be in. To be honest, the two that I'm surprised aren't in there is Kevin Dotson and, to be honest, Akello Witherspoon. How Dotson, when he's the number one rated guard in the entire NFL at the moment, is not a Pro Bowl player is a crime to me.
Because they seem to love the O-line, the Eagles, that's why.
Well, what's one of them? Joel Batonio. I don't think he's played half the season because he's been injured. How's he getting in? And yet, Dotson, who from week six or whatever it was he came in, has just been consistent, you know, top five guard in the league throughout the whole year. It's just ridiculous.
Not just that, for a guard who is not known to be good for run blocking, to be one of the best run blockers in the league this year. Like, the guy is just, he's having his best year for us. And, you know, we've said it a few times, the guy's been, you know, along with Avia, has been, like, they're not missing piece of puzzle, but they've been strong pieces to the puzzle to, you know, shore up that offensive line that's allowed the likes of Stafford to get time on the ball, to make the plays he's been making, to actually read defenses, watch plays develop, and actually allow guys to run their routes, but also Kyren Williams to absolutely blaze the trail on the ground and actually have a running game. I mean, you're going back years since the Rams last had a running back. You know, that we could say, well, we've got a running game, let alone, you know, having guys, you know, at the running back position be in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's nuts. You know, but like I say, that guy, sorry, he should be in there, mate. He should have been, you know, the first guard in the whole list.
Yeah.
And he's not. And it's just like a complete travesty, if you ask me personally. I just can't believe it. I genuinely just cannot believe the guy's not in. And it's ridiculous that he's not.
I mean, I don't even know how you put it down to how when the kind of like the press, you know, and analysts are like actively posting about how well this guy's been doing this year, how he doesn't get picked.
I mean, Zach Martin, Chris Lindstrom and Landon Dickerson are the guards that have been selected. I'm sorry, I don't feel any of them, maybe outside of Zach Martin, are better than Dotson. I'm sorry, I just don't see it. I really genuinely don't see it. But, you know, it's
always a popularity game, isn't it?
It always has been a popularity, you know. To be honest, and this is something I've seen, no offense, people fighting against, you know, biting back, is how's Aaron Donald in it? He's not the best defensive tackle anymore. It's a popularity contest. He's only there because of his name, which he's, I think, gone. When you look at his sack stats, is what people look at and go, oh, he's not that many. But, you know, it's everything else that he does.
Yeah, because, like, as a defensive, like, you know, D-lineman or, like, a linebacker, you're measured only in your sacks.
No, it's like, not.
That irritates me as well, that people look at that sack stat and think that's what makes a good defenseman. Absolutely not.
No, exactly, it's not. It's, you know, everything else he does outside of that that makes it, you know, him what he is.
Yeah.
You know, the fact he's eating double, triple, quadruple teams, you know, every single snap, you know, deep, you know, tackles for loss that he's doing, you know, everything, you know, he's got 3 passes defended this year. That's as many as some of our safeties have got,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah, but I can understand, you know, to me, it's just, like I say, it's a travesty for me that Dotson isn't in. And I think he even acknowledged himself, you know, well, okay, I didn't get in this year after my best year. I'll just keep going. Yeah, which is, I think, the right man. I think it was on Instagram he put, you know, a thing up. So hopefully, maybe this has given him, you know, a little bit of a, right, I'll prove next, you know, now that I'm...
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll be with us. Because obviously, his contract's due up at the end of the season.
But, there's another man, you didn't mention him, but I'm going to mention him, that wasn't in the Pro Bowl discussion. But there's a discussion that's came up in the last few days about where he should be this year. And that, and you know, we've been talking about all season about, like, Puka being the Offensive Rookie of the Year. But let's talk Kobe Turner, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Andy, is Turner worthy of this accolade this year?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Especially over the last, since the bye, especially, he's been quite a big, you know, force.
Well, he leads rookies in his position.
Yeah, exactly. But again, my worry is that, you know, he's, because he's not a first round pick like Will Anderson, unfortunately, he ain't going to get it.
Yeah. And
much like, unfortunately, for Puka, for Offensive Rookie of the Year, I have a horrible feeling, because he's not a quarterback, he's not going to get it.
What's that?
For me, yeah, Kobe Turner should be up there in the discussion, certainly, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, he's basically, like, I'll actually maybe start referring to him as AD Light, because right now, as a rookie, that's what he is to me. This guy is potentially, like, someone who will step into Aaron Donald's shoes for me down the line here. You know, his nickname is the Conductor. Like, he, and the guy is just, he is potentially another stud there. And again, it's like you said, it's these late. The Rams seem to be really good at picking out these late round gems. You know, you've got Kyren Williams as well. He's a fifth rounder. Yeah. You know, and the guy is, I can't remember if he's second or third in the rushing yards now, behind McCaffrey. You know, for a guy that had never started, he never started a game last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he was an IR as well for 4 weeks
this year
as well. Yeah. Like, that's absolutely phenomenal. Imagine if he wasn't an IR, how good he could have been this year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the guy would have been, he's second.
Second.
By about 80 yards. Next one's James Cook behind him. But, 1,
how many yards is it? Was he behind McCaffrey? Just out of interest.
315 yards behind him. So it's
if he didn't go in IR, Kyren Williams would have been.
He could be up there with uh-huh. McCaffrey. He could potentially be up there with McCaffrey. You know, he's not far off. You know, he's not far off there. You know, and another you know, Puka is currently fourth in receiving yards in the whole league. He's only 2 yards behind third place, which is AJ Brown. So, you know,
it's nuts. I think 2023 is going to go down as the surreal season, because we all expected to tank it. Everyone had written us off. And yet we've got, like you said, we've got Kyren Williams, got Puka Nacua, Kobe Turner, you know, absolutely lighting up. You know, I know Williams isn't a rookie, right? But it's his first proper year when he's starting. But these guys that are really young, you know, hungry and like later round picks, and they've just totally blown other guys out of the water that were taking like higher up in the draft.
Well, another one we do need to mention that we never actually mentioned for the Pro Bowl is Ernest Jones. How's he not got into the Pro Bowl?
Well, he overtook James Laurinaitis, did he not, this week?
Yep.
So, yeah, there's another one.
Yeah, the interior linebackers are Fred Warner. Okay, I'll give him that. He's a damn good player, unfortunately.
Wagner?
And Wagner's the other one. Again, popularity contest. Don't get me wrong, I agree. Fred Warner should be the best, unfortunately, interior linebacker in the NFL. But Ernest Jones should have been the number two right behind him in there for the Pro Bowl. Beast this year. I think he took what that year he had with Bobby Wagner. He's took it all in. He's learned and he's come. But again, another late round draft pick. It was Jones' second or third round, I think. I think it was third round when we picked him. You know, so, you know, and it's like, you know, how can you tell me that, you know, this guy's not in there? You know, all right, actually, no. In fairness, Bobby Wagner does have 168 tackles, so I suppose we can't really. But, you know, in terms of everything else he does, for me, he's better in coverage. He's better at most things compared to, you know, personally. Yeah, he's another one actually that should have been in the Pro Bowl. Personally, is Ernest Jones.
Well, that's that. I mean, well, saying that, like, Jones is down for a. Let's see what's he got here. My math's terrible. 145 tackles in a year.
Yeah, so he's not far behind. Fifth place in tackles is Roquan Smith, and that's 158, so he's not that far behind him.
Yeah.
You know. It's annoying me now. Where did we draft the guy? When did we draft him?
Great stats page open here, and I can't see it.
Again, another third round pick. He's another third round pick. You know, and so I say we do seem to pick well in those sort of third, fourth, and, you know, occasionally in the fifth round. You know, but you mean you look at players who we've let go. Sebastian Joseph Day played well for us. Greg Gaines played well for us. You know, there's lots of players but we've let go.
Yeah.
You know, who have been those sort of mid, third, fourth round picks that, you know, have played out well for us. You know, so we seem to do have an eye for the sort of mid round talents. But like you say, mate, no, go back. Kobe Turner, as far as I'm concerned, should be. And to be honest, I'd even put Byron Young in the conversation. You know,
well, you know, that's no one that's...
For a guy that, you know, for an older guy who was basically late into football because of his situation and was working as a manager, you know, to do what he's done as a rookie is, you know, promising.
Yeah.
One more sack, and if Turner plays and gets one sack, he'll be in double digits for the year. So, how, you know, he should be, you know, definitely in the conversation, and to be honest, probably really should win it. But like I say, unfortunately, I don't.
He won't win it because he's a low round pick, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be an absolute travesty.
Yeah, and that's what worries me for Puka, as much as he's kicked, you know, everything this year. I think, unfortunately, CJ Stroud, because he's a quarterback, first round quarterback, is basically going to win it.
But how long has Stroud been out now?
I think he played last week, didn't he?
Nope.
He came back last week. I'm sure he did. I might
I'm not going to come on it. Fantasy football bad. 0 points for him as my quarterback. So, nope, he didn't play last week.
Or did he come in and then go back out? Hang on,
probably went in back out. I'm trying to see.
No, CJ Stroud played.
He did play, you're right.
Yeah, 213 yards, one touchdown, zero interceptions.
So he came back after a few weeks, about 3 weeks out then.
Yeah, he had about 3 weeks out.
I mean, granted, he has been a good rookie quarterback, but he's not breaking records.
No, he's not. No, and I do think if Puka can break that record, it's kind of they cannot give it to. If they don't give it to him, if he breaks the record, it's clearly a fix. And you may as well rename it to offensive rookie quarterback of the year.
Well, that's that, yeah.
Because you know, like, MVP's that already, you know.
Yeah, well, we've seen that like a couple of years ago with Cup. You know, with his like season, like everyone's saying, like Cup's got to be MVP, and then they didn't give him it because he's not a quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. It seems to be MVP is the quarterback award, and then offensive player of the year is anyone else.
Well, that's it. But like in that season, Cup did get offensive player of the year, so I would like to hope that, you know, well, he only needs, like I said, 20 yards, it was in four catches. That's all Puka needs. It's like, you know, get him. 30-yard catch, get him a couple of yard catches so he gets the record, then get him off. That's it. Take the record.
I have a feeling that is the team's plan. Yeah. Why they're not benching
him. Get Puka the ball quick. Get him off.
It'll just be, right, Wentz, look for Cup to confuse them. Go to Nacua. Let's get these four catches. Let's get them the 20-odd yards. And then we'll pull on the guy and he can sit for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
But then again, would Puka want that? Or would Puka want to just torch the record and try and go for another, you know, beat it by 100 yards and five other catches? You know, you just don't know with the guy, do you? He seems that sort of guy. He'd be like, I don't want to come out the game. I want to keep playing.
Yeah, but, you know, got to have a sensible head on here, which is what we seem to have, which will now, this kind of now brings us into week 18 or final week of this regular season, folks, as we travel to the Denham Stadium to take that lot on games 9:25. It's not in Sky Sports. As you can see, there are kind of form against them as 1-4, but that one was the most important one of all. So they can win all the fucking regular season games they won, but they couldn't put us away when it mattered. Andy, you've touched upon it there. So a lot of guys are kind of going to be rested this year. Stafford's obviously not playing. We're going to see Carson Wentz as our starting quarterback. And you said Dresser, I didn't realise Dresser Wynn had been brought back in. He'll be his backup, basically. Cup's been rested. Donald's been rested. I didn't see is Williams being rested or is he?
Yeah, I think he is being rested, yeah.
Good, because we've got a running game going, so we kind of need that. Andy, how are you feeling about this game, knowing that it's not meaningless, but it kind of is, if that makes sense?
But this game for me now is just, let's get in there, get it over and done with, walk away with no injuries, and I'm happy. As much as, you know, that we will still unfortunately have to play a lot of our starters, you know, that's just the way it is. But, you know,
the key guys.
Yeah, the key guys.
Puka and Williams, you know, the exceptions there.
Like I say, Williams isn't going to be playing. They're expecting the backfield to be a combination of Evans, Freeman as the backfield this week. So, you know, that's good.
I'd expect that Williams will suit up, but not necessarily play, like you're saying.
No, I think Levay has said he's out. He's not playing.
Is he, right?
Yeah, I think he's basically said Stafford, Donald, Williams, Cup are not going to even be dressed. I'm not even sure if he said. I'm pretty not 100% sure, but I think he might have even said they're not going to travel this week.
All right, well, good.
So, you know, I think that's his plan, is they're not even potentially going to even travel to the game. But, you know, I think, again, it's a good chance, I think, for some of the younger players and fringe players to get some game time, you know, just in case, because anything can happen in the playoffs. And for some of the younger guys, you know, I think they're expecting even Havenstein's not going to start. So it'll be, you know, McClendon, Warren McClendon, the rookie,
right,
is potentially going to start at right tackle. So, again, it's good game experience for the guy. You know, it'll be interesting to see. I've not seen the Whiners, so I don't know whether they're starting there because they've clinched the one seed. I can't remember if they're starting.
I've just seen that Darnold will be starting for them. Yeah. That's all I've seen.
So, you know, I'm assuming they're going to be resting players as well. So, yeah, but, you know, it'll still be a good chance for some of these guys, younger guys, fringe players, to get on the field, get some meaningful game reps in an actual game environment. And then, you know, again, maybe put something on tape for next season for the team to look at and go, well, actually, we may not need to draft X, Y, or sign X, Y, and Z because this lad, all right, played well in the game. So he's maybe going to get a chance next year to show what he can do.
I mean, I've seen some people like basically saying, oh, this is McVay settling down for number seven. And I don't necessarily see a case of settling for number seven. I think what he's done is he's weighed up all the kind of possibilities here. So we could go out and we could start everyone as normal and win the game, but we could end up with a tougher game the following week. Whereas
I don't think it's much that. It's injuries as well. You know,
that's what I was going to say. He's fought, like, the rest of the guys. I don't have to risk, you know, like, the Stafford or whatnot picking up an injury and then it messes up for the playoffs. And, you know, the way it could work out is we could end up seventh, but have what would be an easier game for us, even though it's the number two seed. I mean, it might be to us, which says, well, we can plan better against whoever it is than if it was that team.
You know, I can see some people are arguing that they shouldn't be doing this because of the rest period they get in between the games. It can sometimes put players out of sync, because I think somebody did highlight, we did this I think the year before we went to the Super Bowl the first time, and we rested a bunch of players and then we came out against Atlanta and got absolutely thumped. And the team just looked off for the whole game because they looked like they were out of sync with everything. So I can see some people have been arguing it's not a good idea to do this because you've got to weigh it up what you know is best for everybody.
Well, let's weigh it up another way. Look at what happened in Green Bay with the bye week, and look at the Rams when we came back.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I mean that's the point I would put back to it.
Yeah.
I get the point that's been made, but we've got a precedent this year. Looking at the bye week. The bye week is your example of everyone's rested for the week.
I can see the argument of you taking players out of the sink, out the stride, and but I can also see the other side of it as well, you know, is it really? We've clinched playoffs. It's not as if we're fighting for the playoffs and we've decided, well, we'll rest and see what happens. It's a case of we're in the playoffs. It doesn't matter now. We weren't expected to be there anyway. Does it matter who we play?
And I think the other thing is, I think it's looking at it from the perspective of the likes of McVay and even probably the back office guys as well, I guess, to an extent. We've made the playoffs when we're not expected to, but they obviously fancy their chances to cause an upset or two here.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I've even seen, can't remember his first name, but something Scott, he's an NFL analyst, has basically said the team he would not want to play in the playoffs
is the Rams. Yeah.
It's not the Eagles. It's the Rams because of...
We're 6-1, in the last 7 weeks. And the only team to beat us was the Ravens.
As he said, they're a team who nobody expected to be there.
Yeah,
they're playing well offensively. Outside of the Giants game, he said they've played very, very well. And he said, they've got nothing to lose. It's not as if a few years ago where it was like, Super Bowl's at our home stadium. We've built this super, you know, not being funny, a super team. You know, your Jalen, everything else. We've got all the superstars in F the picks
moment. We have to win it.
We've got to win it now or it's all finished. He said they've got none of that pressure. It's just a case of we're in the playoffs. Whatever happens, happens.
And you know what they say, Andy? The people/teams with nothing to lose are the most dangerous people to come up against. And you don't want to face someone who's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, you know, we could go out there, cause an upset or two, and, you know, all of a sudden it's a championship game and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we're sort of 3 games to get to that championship game, 4 games and you're in the Super Bowl. You know, it's not as much as it may seem far-fetched with how the team is. You look at it, it's only 4 more games and we could potentially be back in a Super Bowl. You know,
I think it's a fair one to make, say that we're a dark horse here.
Yeah, we're the dark horse. We are definitely, you know. But I think analysts and people are starting to wake up and realise that
they've been sleeping on this.
It's not so much that. It's just Rams at the moment are not a team you want to be playing because of, yeah, we have our defensive weaknesses. But when our offence is firing, we can keep up with anybody.
Look at the Ravens game.
Against the Ravens, you know, we can keep up with anybody. When our offense is firing, you know, and
that's that. Our offense gets firing all cylinders, and like you said, even if the defense just plays competently,
if we have a competent game like we had in parts of the season before, you know, this, you know, when we were, you know, 14 points against Arizona, 19 points against Cleveland, you know.
Yeah.
Our defense looked comfortable. It wasn't as if we were all of a sudden, oh crap, you know. A lot of it again was garbage time, fourth quarter touchdowns and stuff when we had taken our foot. But before that point, we were very much, you know, and if we can get that defense for 4 quarters of a game in the playoffs, you know, and our offense can fire like it did, all, you know, and Stafford can be turnover free, which up until the Giants game, he very much was. He'd only thrown one interception since the bye week up until the Giants game. You know, we are a scary team for you know, some teams to go up against, especially when, like I say, other teams are struggling at the moment. Teams are struggling where we're firing.
Well, that's it. So, like other teams, like you're saying, that they're kind of in the downwards, whereas we're still going up and up here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with this one on Sunday, you know, I mean, with that, like, who knows?
Yeah.
Really? We pushed them like so close early in the season, and that was when we weren't playing well.
Yeah.
And one side, it's a shame that we're resting all these guys because I would fancy us for the win. But I get the logic and why, because obviously they don't want anyone picking up injuries because there's a good chance we could cause an upset or two here along the way, and like you said, it's only 4 more games potentially here. So it's like you win one, well, that's 3, you know. And depending on how our games go, we'll say, well, fancy our chances a bit more based on who's left. And you know, you could be then sitting there says, well, Christ, we're in the NFC Championship game now. How did we get here? And it's like, it's one more game, and then we're at the big one, you know. And then it's like, well, it's a free hit for another ring. Because that's the way you would look at it. You would, like you said the last time round, it's like, we have to win it now. We must win it now. The stars are all in line. We've got the team. It's at our own stadium, for Christ's sake. We have to win it now. And we did. Whereas, if we somehow got there, it'd be like, well, we've nothing to lose. It's a free hit. We win it. We don't win it, well, we expected to be drafting like number one this year, whereas we've just lost the Super Bowl. You'd be like, we're all saying like it's a successful year because we've made the playoffs, but like it's crazy to think that we'll take it 1 week at a time, obviously. But
yeah, you know, if things go our way,
uh-huh,
and we get maybe just that little bit of luck as well, you know, it isn't as far-fetched. I can't remember what seed were we when we won the Super Bowl. I think we were like the 6th or 7th then.
But we won. No, we were top 4 because we won our division. remember? We lost to them at home, but because of results elsewhere, we won the division.
I know we won the division, but I think we weren't a high one then.
No.
I think the first Super Bowl we won again, or was it the very first Super Bowl we won that we were a lower? I know it was one of them, we were a bit lower down the pecking order, but, you know, like I say, you know, the last
wild card team to win the Super Bowl from the lowest, kind of like 6/7, was the Bucks a couple years ago. They've been saying that a lot, and that they've been making that comparison to us.
Yeah. Like I say, it's four games, and then potentially, you know, the fourth game is the Super Bowl, and, you know, playoffs, anything can happen. You know, injuries are still a thing. You know, if a team loses an important player, you know.
We were fourth seed the last time.
Were we? Oh, I thought we were a bit lower than that. But...
Right. I'm just checking the year. So, yeah, we were fourth because we ended up hosting the NFC Championship game against them, who were the wildcard team. And I thought we were one or two, I'm sure we were. We were the number one seed the first time we won it.
Like I say, you know,
it's not far-fetched to think about that kind of stuff now.
No, but it isn't. Maybe I'm getting a little bit far ahead of myself, but we're not, you know, the realms of it's four more games, you know.
I don't think anyone would grudge you for it, though, mate.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would grudge you for it because we didn't expect to be in the playoffs. So,
like you said, bye week.
Why not, Gene? Just that wee bit more.
Yeah, bye week. We were talking about, okay, who you know, we'll have to start thinking about who we're going to draft with the top 3-4 pick, you know.
I know, I'm pretty sure you were talking about this. I'll start doing analysis about, you know, who the best prospects are for us outside.
Yeah,
I'm going
to have to completely rewrite that because it's like we're not getting any of the ones selected unless we trade up. You know, now we're, you know, four games and potentially we could be back in another Super Bowl, and what a fairy tale that would be.
It would. Do you know what? It actually would. And it would be one of those ones.
It would be a better win than what we've, you know, obviously we won the last one, but I think it would be a better Super Bowl for us to, you know, because of the fact that we've gone in with a bunch of rookies and late round draft picks and, you know, street players and basically, you know, done it all.
I have to agree with you there, like when we last year we'd kind of ask people, in fact, no, it was the 100th episode, I'd asked all you guys, like, what Super Bowl win was the bigger one, and you all said basically SoFi Super Bowl because we won it at home. Whereas, like you're saying now, if we somehow won it this year, if that question was reposed, you would say hands down this year, because the team was absolutely gutted apart. We got all these like young guys, all these rookies, all these undrafted free agents, and somehow. You know, I mean, I wouldn't grudge them, right? So let's just talk hypothetically here that the Rams somehow win in Vegas. I wouldn't grudge McVay if he turned around the next day and said he was retiring, because I don't think he could top that. If he'd done it this season, I don't think he could top that, and I would be quite happy to let him walk off into the sunset because, he's for me that. Well, this is other thing. So I might bring this up as well. Sean McVay, coach of the year, yes or no?
Yep. With what he's done with
exactly
for a team that has basically, like we said, the analysts had us down as, you know, the 31st best team in the league. You know, at the start of the year, and we were, you know, it was us in Arizona, basically 32-31. You know, to be in, you know, just making the playoffs. You know, the guy is. You know, I do think we have to shout out a little bit of praise for LaFleur as well, who seems to have come in, made a few changes to help, you know, put a few wrinkles in the playbook and seems to be working, because we were never an inside tackle run team. we have predominantly this season been an inside the tackles run team with Kyren Williams for a lot of it. We are still doing some wide zone stretch stuff, but the majority of it has been between the guards and the tackles, you know, and basically downhill power running.
Yep. Which, and also on that, like Raheem Morris as well, because like considering how, you know, like a lot of the kind of criticism the defenses came in for, like he's doing well with what he's got there, and we've not complained about him like as much as we have. You know, even when we won the Super Bowl, like we were just like, we hate him, we want rid of him, and yet like here we're a couple down the line saying, do you know what, he's actually doing a pretty damn good job. We don't want to lose him now.
He's done a decent job. There are still some changes I'd like to change with him. You know, I'd like to make. But again, I think it's down to the fact of he can't play the sort of defense he wants because he's limited by the fact of, no offense, the likes of Darian Kendrick back there. And even Kobe Durant, he came in this week and I'm not being funny. The guy didn't look anything special. He kind of looked a bit out of sorts and got absolutely torched, you know, quite a few times, you know. So I think if he could get maybe a competent corner, you know, back there, he could maybe play a bit more man press, you know, jam guys on the line, you know, and getting people's faces.
Yeah.
So maybe then be able to change his defense around a little bit and, you know, get a bit more. Because, you know, even when we had Ramsey, it was Ramsey and nothing else really.
You know,
bit part players here and there, David Long Jr., you know, and players like that who, you know, so even then he wasn't able to play his full defensive style that he'd maybe want to play. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, but my worry is that we're going to lose a few of these guys in the offseason.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not, mate. But we'll see. But it's just, wrap up for this Sunday. Win or loss?
Unfortunately, Wynas, I think it'll be a loss, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't care.
I really couldn't give a shit what they do.
I'm actually in two minds whether I'm even going to watch the game because I don't care now. It's like, I don't care. Let's just get to the playoffs now and let's see what we do with the playoffs.
It's good. The game that matters, the running. You know, so moving on, the last thing I want to kind of bring up this week, folks, is the culmination of the Sleep Deprivation Bowl Championship for 2023, a fantasy football competition. They were running on Sleeper. So we had 20 teams all in. The playoffs are now over. We have our conference champions. Santi 7 Chelsea won the McVay Conference, who I believe he comes from Uruguay. As I found out the other day, didn't realise we had somebody from Uruguay on the Discord server as well.
Hello, Santi from Uruguay.
Thank you very much for taking part all the way over there in South America. I didn't realise that, because I'd messaged him to say, look, a wee token, if you won your conference, a wee token to send to you here. And he said, listen, thanks, appreciate it, but I live in Uruguay. And he said he's been following LA Rams UK for a good few years now. So thank you very much for your support, Santi, and for taking part, and congratulations on being the McVay Conference Champion. Our Vermeil Conference Champion is Mission Ingolfable, who is Dave Posey. He won that conference, and if you remember, folks, as it's kind of a few weeks back, we would crown a bowl champion by taking the scores from the two conference champions, and with the one with a high score, they'll become our bowl winner. And with a margin of 0.12 points, Mission Ingolfable, aka Dave Posey, took home the Sleep Deprivation Bowl Championship, and I believe possible arriving, it may have arrived today, but I know he said he was on night shifts. I might arrive tomorrow. The Sleep Deprivation Bowl itself is winging its way to Dave, and he said he'll post us a lovely picture with his trophy when he receives it. So that brings it to an end. Thank God, the fantasy football. You didn't come dead last, Andy. You're all right. I did. I came dead last in my conference in the end. I just didn't care once the regular season was over. I didn't even open up my team. I just logged out and logged in as the admin account just to see out the year. But thank God that season's over, eh?
Oh, yes. Yes, that has got, I think, the worst fantasy season I've ever had in my life, ever.
Do you know what the worst bit? See, for me, see, I think it was either yesterday or the day before, my Facebook memories, it popped up like from like 11 or 12 years ago, when I won a fantasy league I was in, and I went in the playoffs 6-8 as like the bottom seed, and I beat the third seed, then I beat the second seed, and then I beat the top seed to win it off a losing record. And it's like, to go from that to like seeing how fucking awful I'm at now.
That's what I was saying. Last year I won mine. I won it. And this year it's just been completing us travesty. It's just like, I was literally, I had the 2022 Rams, mate. Everything I touched was just injury prone.
Oh, well, you went with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, did you not?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. Justin Jefferson was my wide receiver one. And like I say, every player I drafted as replacements for injured players, they were like getting injured the same freaking week I drafted them. And it was just like, I give up. I just give up.
It's over and done with now, mate. Fantasy football competition will be back next year. We'll be sticking with Sleeper. We've got a hang of how this operates now. And it's much better from an administrative point of view, because we don't actually have to be in the league to run it, which is good. So we can basically just oversee it and manage it and let you guys just go at each other. We will look to improve the competition for next year. It was a great competition this year, even with myself coming last, being able to talk about it in the league, seeing how close the divisions were as well. There was a lot of fine margins in a lot of the games, so it was really good. And like, just want to say thank you to all the guys who took part in it this year, and hopefully sees there next year, and hopefully some more, because like I said, we'll be looking to maybe expand that a wee bit more, but we'll work that out in the close season. So thanks again for that, folks. Andy, is there anything else, mate, you want to talk about, bring up before we wrap up for the evening?
No, mate, don't think so. I think it's just, let's get this week out of the way now, injury free, and let's look forward to some playoff football. Like we said, we never expected the words to come out.
Let's just get to the postseason now, folks. Well, I've been John and you've been Andy.
One more thing for anybody who's into watching Twitch. Tutu Atwell is now on Twitch streaming gaming.
Is he playing anything interesting?
Fortnite so far, I believe. I saw a tweet today about it.
It would be Fortnite, wouldn't it?
Aye. Well, at least it's not Madden.
Aye, well, true. Don't happen to have his handle, do you?
Just search Tutu Atwell on Twitch, it'll come up, mate. Or I think if you've got Twitter, have a look on his Twitter page. I believe he's got a link to it on there as well.
Alright, cool. So yeah, any budding Fortnite players out there you go. Help your man Tutu, party up with him or whatever.
Whatever you do, I don't know, I've never played it, mate.
My 7-year-old plays Fortnite religiously, and like he started playing online with his friends from school on like private servers and that, and it just, oh god.
I'm looking forever into that garbage.
No. Anyways, but Andy, thanks for joining me this evening. Always great to talk to you, mate, about the Rams, and look forward to speaking to you next week about our push into the playoffs.
Yeah, I say look forward to next week when we can discuss who we've finally, you know, we've figured out who we've got in the playoffs. And hey, you never know, we might get a lucky win, but if we do, I'll be very, very happy.
Yeah, but that's all for us this evening, folks. We will catch you next week where we will look back at the game against Statmore, but we'll focus a lot more time on the preview of the postseason. So thanks again for joining us, folks, and we'll catch you next week on another edition of the LA Rams UK podcast. Take care and goodbye.